Hello, and welcome to this episode of the BDNG podcast. My name is Julia Wheeler, and I'm the Educational Development Nurse for the BDNG. We hope you enjoy listening to this series and find them beneficial to your practice. This first series of podcasts are sponsored by Almirall. Almirall has no influence over the content of these podcasts. Happy listening.
Hello and welcome to the official BDNG podcast. We are your hosts, Ashlyn Cleary and Emmanuel Tony, and we are both clinical nurse specialists in dermatology. Today we are talking to Julia Wheeler and Holly Nagel about their experience of redeployment during the COVID-19 pandemic. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you so much. It's good to be here.
So would you like to tell us a little bit about yourselves, first of all, about what your role involves, and then we can start talking about how COVID affected us all?
Okay, so I'm Julia. A lot of you know me. I'm the Educational Development Nurse for the BDNG, but I also work clinically in the south of England in an acute hospital as a dermatology outreach nurse. So my job is caring for people in acute environments. So that's wards, hospital wards, also A&E, GP streaming kind of services. So looking after people to try to avoid them from coming into hospital, helping them with skin concerns when they're admitted. So from all of the staff in our team, I felt that I was kind of somebody that was more exposed to acute care, acute services, also sort of working in the hospital where most of patients are kind of admitted. So I was familiar really with ward nursing, where a lot of my colleagues were not.
And Holly, what about yourself?
Hi, I'm Holly. I'm 19 now, and I'm a healthcare assistant in the south of England within dermatology. But obviously, with my age, I've never had any sort of ward-based experience or anything like that. I went into my job in dermatology with nothing, like no prior experience other than like 2 weeks work experience. And so, yeah, redeployment was quite the adventure.
So you had had no ward experience before that, is that right?
No, nothing like that, no.
Wow, okay. So you were redeployed from outpatients to the inpatient department?
Yeah, to a neuro rehab ward.
And how did you find that whole experience?
Difficult, to say the least. There wasn't really any training or anything like that offered. So I sort of just had to go in and almost just get on with it and work stuff out for myself by watching other people.
And talk us through what typically happens in your work week compared to what then happened when you were redeployed to the wards. What was so different?
So typically I work 8:30 till 4:30, Monday to Friday. And so I'll get into work just before 8:30. But when I was redeployed, I was getting into work for 7 o'clock and then not leaving until nearly 8. So... And then I was doing 3 or 4 shifts a week rather than the full 5.
Back to night shifts, I suppose, as well, and weekend cover.
I didn't do any night shifts, but I did a weekend.
And Julia, talk us through what your normal work week was like, and then compared to what then happened during the pandemic.
Yes, my normal work week is usually very predictable, generally kind of 9 till 5 hours, obviously, with some flexibility around that to suit patient need, but very much office kind of hours. And I usually work just 3 days a week. But when I was redeployed, I was expected to do the 12-hour shifts. Fortunately, that kind of meant, that I'd do 2 shifts of 12 hours 1 week and then, 3 days the following week just to make up my hours. So it wasn't like I was working back to back, which I would have found just exhausting. I mean, I don't know how nurses do that, just work a stretch of 12-hour shifts. So that was kind of a big shock for me, having to kind of adjust to the hours.
And tell us a little bit about when you were told initially that you're going to be redeployed. Was it a shock to the system?
Well, in the first wave of the pandemic, the hospital just changed. It became very quiet in the corridors. People, were very tense, and the anxiety amongst staff was really palpable in the acute services. And I think that I was watching things unfold from the outset. And so I was kind of preparing myself for change. You know, I knew something was going to happen before anything was mentioned. You know, we all kind of expected something to happen. And to be quite honest, my services kind of dwindled. You know, there was a lot less referrals for dermatology patients. You know, the focus was entirely different. And so I kind of went to one of the wards that I was familiar with, and I kind of hooked up with a couple of girls there. And I said, look, you know, I'm really quiet in my job at the moment, and I know things are pretty bad for you, so I'll kind of help if you need it. And so kind of it started like that, and then it was more formal. And so I was asked to work there. I sort of worked there for 3 months. And again, as Holly said, to begin with, there wasn't very much training. I mean, you kind of learnt on the job. We were given some training, kind of like in the second or third week of being there. And it was really a very high-tech training. You know, we had this chap come in from some ventilator company. You know, he was a rep explaining the use of ventilators. And to be quite honest, it's just right over our head. All the girls were sitting there thinking, oh, what's the man on about? You know, we don't understand this. What we needed actually was training on how to complete all of the paperwork on the ward. That was the first thing. That was the real thing. And you know, just doing observations, we don't have the kind of equipment that they have. You know, they have everything's electronic now, and you all need passwords for everything. So getting established on all of that was another challenge, really. And it wasn't instant. So, you know, you just found that the job was so much more complicated because you didn't have authority to use everything immediately. And everything just took such a lot of time, and you had to ask everybody for logons and support in that regard. So, yeah. It was really difficult to begin with.
When was the last time you were on the wards? Were you ever an inpatient nurse historically before working in dermatology?
Now, I'm quite old actually, so I did my training a while ago and immediately worked on a respiratory ward for about 18 months. And you know what? It was not for me. I was really fortunate, you know, finding my way into dermatology, and that's obviously my speciality. That's the place I know that I am effective. I'm knowledgeable. I feel confident. You know, respiratory and medical acute care is really something that I always found quite overwhelming, and I was very happy to move away from. So I never relished the thought of going back into that environment at all. But I just know that needs must. It was something that we were all going to have to step out of our comfort zone. And I just knew that I couldn't avoid it. I just couldn't turn my back and hide away from it. I just knew that I had to step up to it, really, and give it a go. Do what I could.
Yeah, no, definitely. I feel like I can relate on so many points that you've just said there in my own experience being redeployed as well. But in your team, that was I suppose, was there anyone left behind, or were all of your colleagues at that stage redeployed as well?
I think I was the first to go, but when it sort of became formalised. There were a few people left behind. So obviously the cancer care 2 week wait services were sort of continuing. And there was a few people required to sort of make the environment safe. So there were lots of, I think there must have been about a core of about maybe 8 nurses who stayed behind. But the majority moved away, and did move away quite reluctantly, generally. You know, there was a huge amount of fear. There was a huge amount of anxiety, as Holly kind of alluded to, really. And I think it's very easy, you know, for a team, you know, when they're talking about stuff, you know, and their fears and anxiety, it kind of, it's really hard to escape from, isn't it? You know, it kind of builds up. You know, those emotions in us, and you know, we can make things a little bit more frightening than they need to be. I don't know. I just found that it's kind of the mindset for me was really key. I just had to recognize that I wasn't perfect, that I didn't have all the skills that I was going to need, but I just had to give what I could. And I was really lucky as well, because I knew the staff where I was going to work. They knew me. They knew my job. They knew what I was good at and what I wasn't good at. You know, made that very clear. And they were very supportive. So I just found that they kind of, although there was real time constraints on us, you know, there wasn't a lot of time for people to be trained up on the job. You know, it was very much a case of there you are, they're your patients, just do what you can.
Because you've both touched on this anxiety that I think we all felt as nurses 100%. And healthcare assistants and doctors in the NHS. And I've just got a question about the emotional stress, because dealing with COVID patients, for those of you that haven't done it, just the anxiety that you have for your own health, for your loved ones, and also seeing very sick patients. Did you feel supported emotionally in your workplaces? And was there any support provided by your trusts or any techniques you can share that you found helped kept you both emotionally resilient during such turbulent times?
So, I mean, I might be in a slightly different scenario to a lot of other people, because I was put onto a ward where patients are relatively well. They're mm-hmm. sort of getting to the point where they need to go home.
Yeah.
But when I first got there, I think there was maybe 3 patients that weren't COVID positive. Mm. And going in and out, I was going in and out of bays. I mean, I had my PPE, but it wasn't, like, it was a blue surgical mask. It wasn't a proper mask. And I have elderly grandparents that my dad has to look after on quite a regular basis. So it was quite stressful for me, in that obviously didn't want to pass anything on to them because they're very high risk. And so I had the stress of that. I think the trouble with COVID is it's so unknown, and someone could get it. Someone perfectly healthy could get it and then end up in ITU. And there's no way of knowing how your body's going to react to getting the virus. Within our trust, we have like a well-being team. And so I had a few conversations with them, and they sort of gave me advice, because I wasn't sleeping well at all. I've said to Julia before that I could probably count on one hand the number of good night's sleep I had in the 6 weeks I was redeployed. Not only was I tired, I was also stressed, and it was all just not a very nice combination to have. To deal with it, I tried to go out for a walk at lunchtime, because removing myself from the environment was so important to me. Because if you're sat on the ward, then you can still hear all the buzzers, so it's still just as stressful. But I wouldn't say I probably dealt with it as well as I could have.
Thank you so much for sharing. I think it's really good that you know, you have that level of self-awareness and perception. And stepping away from the ward sounds like a very healthy thing to do. I'm very similar, whereby when things get stressful, I do like to disconnect a little bit, you know, make sure that for my lunch I'm not sitting at my desk, you know, I'm going somewhere else to eat. So I think you took some very positive steps, which is really good to hear. What about you, Julia?
Yeah, I think it was really interesting actually how as a team, sometimes I'm a bit remote because I work in another hospital, so I don't kind of interact as much with everybody as perhaps they do being together in the same hospital. But, you know, that we were all on a WhatsApp group, and you know, messages were flying around, you know, encouragement, support. And I found that really nice and helpful, actually, to know that, well, you know, we were feeling similarly, and there was encouragement as well. So for our colleagues that were left behind in the department, you know, they kept sending messages of support and encouragement. And that was really, really nice. Yeah, our trust was very helpful in providing lots of well-being emails, you know, so there'd be like well-being events that you could engage with online, and sort of lots of support systems in place for counselling, etc. You know, but they're quite difficult to engage with when you're really very focused and busy on a ward, and, you know, at the end of the day, just want to go home and lie down and get in the bath or whatever. So I didn't really engage with everything available to me from the trust. And it's just being overwhelmed and overworked in that clinical environment. You just wanted to escape from it at the end of the day. But when I did read information, obviously it was a lot of mindfulness, a lot of different things discussed on, you know, sort of self-care. And I think that I did make a lot of effort, you know, to to try to do things proactively, like as Holly said, you know, when you get a chance to get off the ward, get off the ward, get some fresh air, talk to your friends, you know, and share your experiences with your colleagues, just to sort of get their support. And yeah, I found that our team kind of grew and strengthened really through the difficulties that we were experiencing. I think it's what, Holly, you were working with colleagues as well, weren't you?
So when I was redeployed, I went first out of, I think I went just after you did, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And then once I'd like made my decision where I was going, I had a couple of my colleagues just say, because we were sort of encouraged to stay on our site, and the choices of the wards, because it's a community hospital, are quite limited. And so I had a couple of colleagues who just said, yeah, we're coming with you, we're going to the neuro ward, because to have someone who you know already there, it makes it so much easier. And they were aware of that. It was quite funny because our student nurse, who we'd just had in dermatology, was going over to do placements over on the ward as well. So when I got there, I was the first one to get there. And then after that, there were four of us who'd come from dermatology. So two nurses, me, and then the student. And it was quite nice to have that support. You could talk to them about what's stressing you out and like about what's going on, because they know the patients, they know the staff on there. So talking to them and airing my worries to them helped a lot, I found. Yeah,
definitely. Like from my own experience, a few of my colleagues as well were redeployed, and we used to have a WhatsApp group and text each other on night shifts and be like, go for a coffee. I kind of felt though that during the day, because I was redeployed to ICU, we didn't really move off the ward for lunch, but night shifts we did. And I probably should have in hindsight, because I used to finish the shift and I don't know about you guys, but you go into the shower and you'd hear all of the beeps and you were like, is that in my head? And it definitely was. And it took a while to like actually get over those noise. But what about your colleagues who were left behind? Because I actually feel like, I suppose our colleagues that are left behind don't always get thought about it as much. And they were kind of left with potentially a bigger workload and were actually under different stresses and wanting to support us being away, but keep the service going. And I think it's important to, I suppose, appreciate all the work that they've had to do being left behind. Do you know how your colleagues were feeling during that time as well?
Yeah. There was a lot of anxiety and concern for them as well. I think their pressures that they were under were significant as well. You know, the number of patients was still there. So there was the anxiety of meeting the demand that was ever increasing, and, you know, trying to work in circumstances which were just not optimal at all. And I think the stress for them was, you know, as great, but different to what we were experiencing. And, you know, there was some research done. I'm just trying to remember, I think it was in Belgium. They surveyed nurses in both, you know, the nurses that were left behind and the redeployed nurses. And the anxiety and the stresses were as great in both, you know, sort of cohorts of the study. Yeah, I certainly felt, on one hand, you know, it was difficult because you kind of thought, well, why are they there? Why are we not here? You know, there was a little bit of that feeling in me, you know, how did they manage to avoid it? You know, that's not fair. You know, but our skill mix, you know, I know that being familiar with the wards, I was the most likely candidate to be selected. And, you know, personal reasons at home, a lot of people may have had people that needed to be shielded. There were several nurses as well that were the shielding as well. So they were working from home. And I know that they struggled working from home, you know, with feelings of not being able to contribute, not being able to support us in the same way. And it was out of their hands. You know, they couldn't have changed things, you know, even if they had wanted to. So I think the stresses for everybody were really off the scale. And as time went on, we understood, and we understood why not everybody was being moved. You know, I know that the BDNG did some nursing survey looking at how nurses experienced redeployment, and there were several people that, you know, found it difficult. being redeployed when some of their colleagues were not. So yeah, it's difficult, but we have to understand, I think, that we don't always know the reasons why people were not redeployed, and we have to respect the decisions that are taken by the management, really, who have a bit more of an overview of the background and situation into everybody else's lives, really.
Yeah, definitely. I was actually one of those people that was left behind, and that's purely because I was seen as the skeletal structure of the department. I'm the only, inflammatory Band 7 CNS in the team. So I'm the only person that works with the biologic service. So we've got about a cohort of 400 to 500 patients and just myself looking after them. So it was felt that I needed to stay behind, and it was definitely stressful. There was a vacuum. You had to deal with the guilt of kind of not being on the ward, feeling like you should be doing more. I know at one point when it was particularly bad during the second wave, we were asked by, the very senior nursing colleagues in the trust were just turning up at outpatients saying so many staff are off sick, the numbers are so high in ITU, theatres are full with ITU patients, can we just do shifts on a weekend? So there was I did actually do a night shift one Saturday just to help as best I could, but it completely run me into the ground doing a 5-day work week and then a night shift on a Saturday and then a 5-day work week the next week. And we talked a lot about kind of the stress on ourselves, but also we were dealing with patients that were just as stressed and anxious. So many immunosuppressed patients that had very valid questions about their treatment and a lot of concerns. So it was about, I would check in regularly with the consultants, see what research, if there's anything else has popped up, any new guidance from the BAD, any new information we can give our patients to make sure they're as, well informed as they can be. But yeah, as in, fingers crossed that there's not a potential third or fourth wave, this summer, but until it's summer, we won't really know. But if I could just ask a question, slightly more lighter note. when you were both on the wards, were you ever utilised in your capacity as dermatology nurses or, dermatology HCAs, people that have experience in dermatology? Did you ever feel like your skills were utilised in that sense?
I found it quite funny because the first time I saw Cetraben, I was like, oh, I'm well acquainted with that. I know what to do with that. I only started my job in October last year. So I feel like my skills, even within dermatology, haven't been utilised as far as they could be. But like, people would have dressings on certain stuff and I'd know what to do with that. But no, I wouldn't say, other than the Cetraben, there wasn't a whole lot.
But were you able to provide the ward nurses with a bit more of an education with that knowledge that you would have gained in a short amount of time? So just little things like putting the moisturiser in the direction of the hair growth, were you able to teach anything to the ward nurses?
I wouldn't say that much, no. Occasionally they'd be using stuff like, and I'd look at it, I'd be like, you don't want to be using that on what you're using it on. Like, that's not its purpose. That's going to cause more harm.
Yeah, I think, Holly, just having the, just explaining that the Cetraben is there, it's there, and it's just really good to actually encourage the nurses to use it. I know sometimes they're so busy that even just applying emollients can be like one job too much on their list, and it often gets forgotten about. So even just you sort of flagging it up and using it at all is probably a great, sort of patient care moment for that patient.
Absolutely. I think we've all been on ward rounds where they've put patient self-done emollients and you look and it's clearly sealed.
Yeah. Nothing. The tube is not even undone. Yeah. It's something that I've seen.
Still got a seal on it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's great because it's in some way we've all kind of increased awareness amongst those ward nurses about how essential dermatology nursing is and dermatology care. So I think it's small battles have been fought, and hopefully as a specialty we've increased our awareness, which is fab. Just a quick question as well. Have you gained any skills that you're now going to bring back into the dermatology world? And if so, what are they?
Let me have a think about that.
I know, sorry, put you on the spot.
So I'm going on to do children's nursing at uni. in September. So I think getting the ward-based experience now, whilst it was really difficult, at the end of the day, it's all experience, and it's going to help me massively when I go on to placement. I'm not going to walk onto a ward and not know what's going on, because I'm going to have more of an idea of how a ward runs.
What was, say that question again. That's the one that you, Holly, answered with the Cetraban.
So the first one was, were your skills as a dermatology nurse ever utilised in your redeployment experience?
Yeah, from my point of view, I was asked a lot of questions about dermatology while I was redeployed. We had several patients that probably would have been referred to me anyway, so it was nice that they were there on my doorstep and I could see them immediately without any delay. Having said that, it was even difficult to see them, though they were on the same ward, being so busy looking after, you know, a cohort of patients in the room next door. You know, I still found it really difficult to go in and see these patients and assess them separately. But, you know, obviously I was able to do that and then relay information back to our doctors for support. And yeah, it was good. It did have several patients with skin needs. And yeah, as well, from the nurse's point of view, always the nurses have got questions. And so sort of rolling up sleeves and showing me this, showing me that, asking me questions. And it's lovely to be able to share dermatology with nurses and, you know, sort of open up their eyes to what the speciality, you know, encompasses. It's, you know, and so I really enjoy, you know, talking about it with them and sort of, you know, just explaining things about, you know, the kind of work that we do. It's not just about cream and it's not just about Cetraban. It's a huge amount more, and it's a really exciting speciality to get into. So there's always interest and there's always people wanting to know about it and how they can get into it. So yeah, I love that. As well, there's lots of people with maskne, lots of people with hand eczema, and wanting to know how to you know, deal with those kind of issues. So we were really lucky to be getting free samples as well from some of the companies. It was good to share how to minimise those kind of complications, really.
Yeah, no, definitely. I had quite a few of the nurses as well asking about the career pathway into dermatology and what your whole workload encompasses, from medical dermatology to skin cancer. And on the ICU unit, I suppose they were familiar with dermatology when we had TEN patients, and so it was quite nice to talk through, you know, the dressings and kind of the plan of care for those patients. But even now, when I go back up to see them, I like notice familiar faces, which is really nice, actually.
So the other question is, are there any experiences that you have gained or skills that you'll be bringing back into your dermatology day-to-day job? So, for example, have you learned more skills around stress management, just being more adaptable in our approaches as nurses?
I think one of the main things really is it's just life, isn't it? It's how to deal with life, how to move forward through these times. Because as you say, we don't know, there could be another wave coming. This could be a repeat, you know, we could be repeating ourselves with this again in the future. Hopefully not, you know. It's about, I think some of the things that I've learned really is the attitude that I went in with was one of, I know I've got all of the skills here. I'm just going to bring what I can to the table. Just try to be open and honest about it. And I just found that people were very embracing and very supportive. And yeah, there's loads of things that I learn. I know there's loads of things that I learn. I mean, I certainly have got a lot more respect as well for the nurses working in those environments. You know, sometimes it's really easy to think, oh, you know, why haven't you put the cream on my patient today? You know, but I can see so well why that is difficult when, you know, there is so many pressures and so much, you know, time constraint really on them. And so, you know, the staffing ratios are not always as good as they should be. Sort of the understanding that I have of colleagues working in those acute environments is one thing that I've really sort of and I understand much more clearly, and I think that's important, because yeah, it's a difficult. We've got to work together as a team, you know, in the hospital, as a wider team, and sort of understanding, you know, our skills and the circumstances that we work in. It is helpful, really, in support of patient care.
I think from maybe my perspective, is it sort of opened my eyes to the challenges people face, because within my ward there were people who had suffered brain injuries that were maybe like 10 years older than me, and it's going to change their life it's going to completely change their life, and they're never going to get back your old normal, like nothing, your life's not going to be the same. And it sort of opened my eyes to the fact that you don't know what's happened to someone. Like, obviously I was aware of that before, but I think it's opened my eyes, like I've seen it firsthand, that someone might come in, you don't know what's happened to them previously. I think especially with dermatology, because skin cancers didn't stop just because of a pandemic, like they still were cropping up, but people were having to come in and then potentially have chemo, which lowers your immune system during a global pandemic. It just makes you more aware of this everyday struggles someone's going through.
Yeah, I think insights into people's situations have really increased, haven't they? That the fact we do sort of have a bit more of a wider understanding of patients in other circumstances, you know, and it's not all, we're so focused on the skin, sometimes it's easy to forget, isn't it? The bigger picture that people have, yeah.
I think it's so good that through all of this, these stressful times, you know, you've all been able to gain new skills and see positive sides and get learning experiences from this all, which I think as nurses we always need to demonstrate the ability to reflect and be able to improve our practice. And I think that we've all improved our practice and how we care for patients, whether it's by increasing our awareness, like you two have said about, you know, when people are down on their luck and having a hard time, whether it's recognizing that acute ward nurses are also rushed off their feet, so being a bit more understanding. But I think you would all agree that it's definitely shaped our practices and changed our approaches.
Yeah.
Any other questions, Aisling?
No, I think so far this has been wonderful having you on, but I think we're nearing the end of this podcast. So do you guys want to share any specific positive experience you've had or any specific lesson that you've learned from the whole experience?
Lessons learned for me, it's about the patients are not always in the place we expect them. And sometimes, you know, we have to go where they go. And, you know, if they're not in dermatology for whatever reason, I just felt that I had to be where they were at that time. And I'm a nurse. I am a dermatology nurse, but I'm a nurse, and we just got to go where the patient is, really. So that, yeah, for me was something that I really reflected on.
What about yourself, Holly?
I think in a way it's boosted my confidence, because quite often have a lot of self-doubt about what I'm capable of. And I think being thrown into that situation, whilst it was awful and really stressful, it's boosted my confidence to know that I can go into an environment and I can help where I can and I can do what I can, but that's all I can do. And I think that'll be so important when I go off to uni, that I know that I can do that and I'm capable of doing it. And I got to the end of my six weeks, and I had members of the ward saying, oh, we want to keep you, like, we don't want you to go back because you're so helpful, which obviously is a massive confidence boost. Yeah. But I wasn't going to stay because I wanted to go back to my normal hours and my normal job that I was used to, where I knew all the team, because I think I struggled a lot. Like, I go into work every day now and I know who's going to be there, whereas if you're walking onto a ward, you've got different people every single day, so you never know how well the team's going to work. So I think it's made me more appreciative of my department.
I think as well, one thing that I've taken from it as well is how we support nurses when they come into our environment, and how, you know, for example, students, new nurses, people that are not familiar with the environment, how do we orientate them? What support do we put in place to make sure that they get familiar and feel supported? Because I think there was a lot of, obviously it was difficult. There were a lot of constraints. It was an emergency situation. There was a lot of us moving into those different environments. But, you know, we can always do so much more, can't we, to help people feel secure and safe in the practice that they're they're moving into. So yeah, I think sort of providing more support maybe for students and looking at how they, you know, understanding really how they feel after all these years of being qualified and not having to move around and get out of my comfort zone, how I support people who are, you know, new in those kind of situations.
Well, lovely. Thank you so much for both sharing your experiences. And again, thank you so much for also sharing, ending on a positive note, which I think is very important.
Exactly. I was the same. Resilient, I think, is a word that I would use to describe my whole experience. I feel like you can take on anything now.
Yeah.
But no, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. And we really appreciate you sharing all of that with us.
Lovely. Thanks so much. Bye.
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 Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. For further information and details of our upcoming events, visit our website, bdng.org.uk, and watch out for the next BDNG podcasts, which are coming soon.